I tell you, we got a day coming. No wonder you're so happy tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, it's good to be in West Monroe with you tonight. You're a beautiful audience. Yes, you are. Good to have Elder Hempfield with us tonight. God bless you. It's good to see you. I've never made your acquaintance personally, but I want you to know it's a privilege to have you tonight in this church, but which you have labored so long and so faithfully. Everybody say, God bless Brother Hempfield, can you? Amen. It's good to have you. Good to be your brother and sister Rutledge. Amen. I'd like to get the chance to go fishing with him.
Yes, sir, let's go.
And show him how to catch bass. Amen. But I guess maybe we'll have to wait for a later date for that. You love the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I got so many mics around me tonight, I don't know which one to use. You're well supplied. But I just want to preach to you tonight, and I trust that God will continue to bless, and especially the word of the Lord tonight.
Hallelujah.
We have been wanting to come and visit you for a long time. You were here one time before you built the new church. Mm-hmm. And you were just starting maybe the slab poured. But I'm glad to see how it all turned out. You know, sometimes things turn out different than what you anticipate.
Right.
You know how it goes, and it just doesn't turn out right. But this turned out just right.
Yes.
It's a beautiful sanctuary, and we thank God with you for it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you have your Bibles tonight and would like to turn with me to the book of Job, I am told that the writings of Job are some of the most ancient in the Word. Job chapter 3, I'll take a thought from there tonight. And to our radio audience, no doubt you may have to leave us, or we may have to leave you, one or the other, before we are through with this service tonight. But we want your attention while we are here.
Yes.
And if we happen to go off the air because of time, why not just jump in your automobile and beat it over here?
Sure.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
After this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, There is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness, let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Verse 16, Or as an hidden, untimely birth, I had not been, as infants, which never saw light. I want to preach tonight for a little while on this subject, the day that could never be. The day that could never be.
Jesus.
To bring you up to date on Job and why he made such a statement as this, if you would read in the first chapter, you would find that this man underwent some persecution or some severe testing by the devil.
Right.
Hell was privileged to put Job to a test. God allowed Satan to do it, to see if Job could stand.
Right.
He brought against him first the destruction of all his possessions, his cattle, the sheep, the asses, the camels. All of the wealth of Job was taken away.
Right.
Marauding bands of Sabaeans and others that came and took what Job had accumulated over a lengthy period of time. Finally, the devil struck at the very heart of every father or mother. He took the family away from Job. He took his sons and his daughters. And Job was left, he and his wife. Finally, Satan further put him to a test, and he was stricken with boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet.
Right.
He sat down in an ash dump. in ashes. And he began to scrape himself with a broken piece of pottery. And as Job sat there, and all of that had caved in upon Job, his world had come suddenly to a climax.
Right.
He was in an utter despicable condition.
Yes.
He sat there in the ash dump, having nothing to look forward to. None of his family came to sit down to comfort him.
Uh-huh.
If you have lost a loved one, you know the terrible feeling of loss in your heart.
Right.
But what if you lose all of your family except your wife at one stroke?
Yeah.
You lose all of your possessions. Sometimes if you lose your automobile, that's a loss.
Yes.
Sometimes if financial disaster hits and you lose your bank account, that's a tragic loss.
Yes, sir.
And you have a hard time climbing back to where you were.
Uh-huh.
But here was a man that had lost all that he had except his faith in God.
Right.
But he had been pushed to the very brink of despair. He sat there, and as he sat there and began to remorsefully think on what had befallen him, the very despair of Job's heart cried out. And Job cried out in that moment of despair. After this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day.
Uh-huh.
And Job said, and Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man shall conceive. Let me go back, Job is saying, to that moment in time.
Right.
To that day, to that hour, to that date. You know your birth date and when you were born. But old friend, listen, your mother knows when you were conceived. She knows the travail that accompanied that. She knows what went before the suffering. Your father knows how he scraped the pennies and dollars together to pay for your welfare and to take care and provide for you. Job, no doubt, his mind run back, and he said there was a day in which a news was brought to the world in which they proclaimed, there is a man-child born in this household. There's a little boy by the name of Job. We'll call him Job. If it's a boy, we'll call him Job. Every father and every mother usually get together long before the birth, and they try to decide what we're going to call that little bundle of joy. And they say, now, if it's a boy, I call him Bill. I call him Jim. I call him John. But if it's a girl, we'll call her Susie or Joy or Rebecca or something. We'll have a name already. And there came a time when this little lad was a little infant, this little bundle of joy, into the home of mother and papa Job was born. And they said, we'll call him Job.
Right.
And Job sits there and he reminisces over that hour, over that moment. His mind goes back and Job curses that day. And he says, oh, let the day perish. Let it not be in which the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived.
Right.
Let those news not be spread through that household. Let no one come running from out of the bedroom and say, it's a boy, it's a boy, it's a boy. Listen, friend, I'm preaching to you tonight that there is a day that can never be. There is a day that can never be. You see, what Job was not fully realizing, and no doubt he really knew it, but Job was not really comprehending that that cannot happen, because you see, once you are brought into this world,
right,
once you are born into this world, you become a living soul.
Right.
You can never, never, never go back to that day in which you were not born. That day can never be.
That
day can never be, friend. If you're living in West Monroe, if you are here in Alive, and you hear the sound of my voice, I'm here to tell you tonight that you cannot go back to that state in which you never existed.
Right.
You are here, and you are born, and you are a living soul. And furthermore, you are judgment bound.
Right.
Yes, you are. You may drag your feet. You may rebel. You may have plans. You may have an escape route all picked out.
Yes.
You may have it figured out. But I'm here to tell you tonight that you're going to face a judgment bar of God.
Right.
You're going to face God. You're going to go out to face God.
Oh, yeah.
You may not. believe it. You may not believe in Calvary. You may not believe in holiness. You may not believe in water baptism. You may curse your day. You may curse the day that you were born and say, I would to God that I was never born. I would to God that I didn't have to go to judgment. Oh, why am I here on this planet called Earth? But friend, that day can never, never, never be. Job went on. Job said, oh, let that day be darkness. Let it never be the dawn. Let the sun never rise on the day in which little Job cried out and gave vent to life. And they could say, Job is alive. He's alive. He's alive. Job is alive. Job saying, God, let it be. That he never said, Job is alive. Let the darkness cover the day. Let the light not shine upon it. Let the sun not peep over the horizon. Let it not be said that the day has dawned and a child is born.
Hallelujah.
Let not God. You hear the cry of this man?
Yes.
He's sitting there in an ash dump, scraping himself. Let not God regard it from above. Neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. Oh, Job is crying. Let that day be oblivion. Just a speck in eternity. Just a dark hour. Just like a star that is gone out. That never existed. That sailed through the inky blackness of a universe. That had no life, friend. But listen, man is not like a star that burns out and that's all it is to it. Man is not like a sun that ceases to light. Man is not like a rock that drops into the bottom of an ocean to rise again. I'm here to tell you tonight that man is a walking, living, breathing soul that is judgment bound.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I know the drunkard may live in his world of drunken deliriums. He may live in a world of unreality. And he may try to postpone that eventful day that is marked on the calendar of God when he's going to have to face God in judgment. And the drug addict may live in a world of hallucination in which bright colors flash before his eyes. But that's all a world of make-believe. And he may drag his feet if he wishes. But one day, that drug addict, one day, that drunkard, one day, that harlot, she may live in her world of lust and disregard for moral law. But I'm telling you, she is more than a rock that is cast into a sea. She is more than a burned out star. She's a lost soul without God, headed for an eternity, headed for a judgment bar. And God is going to have to pass judgment and sentence upon one who has been brought into this world and lived and died without Calvary.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's the day that could never be. Oh, listen, friend. Job said, as for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Don't let God regard it. God has a calendar of time. You have a calendar. No doubt Job had a calendar of some kind. And somewhere they were numbered days and months and hours. Job said, let go back to that day. And let that day not be numbered. Whatever your birthday is, mine is October the 15th, 1933. I could say, let there be no such day as that. Somewhere back in the year of 1933, in the month of October, on the 15th day, let there be a black, inky spot. Let it be a blot, nothing but a blot that signifies that a Charles T. Herring was never born. Oh, let it be just an ink spot, just a blot on the calendar. Yeah. But that day cannot be, friend. If you are here tonight, you've got a birth date. You became a living soul. There's a day marked in which you came into this world. and you've got to depart from this world and be judged by a living God
that
lives forever.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Let it not be numbered in the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let that night be a solitary night. Let it stand alone, far off, by itself. Let there be no sound of mirth and laughter. No joyful noise of happiness from a happy, proud parent. Have you ever visited the maternity ward? Have you ever stood maybe on the side just observing those that come and look into that window and peep in at those little infants and stand there with that smile on their face and looking and pointing and saying, "That's my boy. That's my boy. That's my child."
Yeah.
And their friends pat them on the back and say, "Oh boy, he's a fine one. He's a fine one.
Yeah.
That's a fine girl you got there." Praise God. You say he weighed 10 pounds. You say she weighed 11 pounds. You say that's a big one. Yes, sir. But a friend of mine, his wife just had a boy, weighed 10 pounds and something. I said, "Boy, that's a great one." He said, "Yes, but my friend's wife just had an 11-pound girl."
Uh-huh.
Think about that. I thought I'd tell you that to let you know I've not got carried away. I'm still on the right track. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. And they look down there and they say, "Oh, isn't he a fine one? Oh, boy, he looks just like you." He does? Really? Sure enough? You really think he looks like me? Well, some say he looks like his mother. Well, that depends on who's looking at him. But you see, Job said, "Oh, let it be, that there be a solitary night. Let no joyful voice come therein. There'll be no sound of joy. There'll be no sound of happiness." You see, Job's crying out. He's wanting to roll back the time.
Right.
He's wanting to go back beyond the birthday. He's wanting to say the day never happened. It never was. I never came into existence. Job was never born. Job never happened. And I'll tell you something tonight, friend. There are multiplied thousands in this world that wish they were never born.
That's right. That's the truth.
I have talked and instructed souls and tried to plead with them.
Yes.
And say to them, "Why don't you come and serve God?
Uh-huh.
Why don't you give your heart to God, man? You're on a downward road. You're on a downhill run. You're slippery. You're in slippery ways like someone on ice. Skating in the darkness. You're going away from God. Why don't you come and find God?" And I'll pray for them with all of my heart. And they'll say, "I wish I had never been born. I wish I'd never been born."
Yes.
Oh, listen, friend. There is such a state in life you can get to which you will despair of life.
Right. That's
the truth. Oh, hallelujah.
That's right.
Praise God. Job said, "Let them curse it that curse the day who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Let no light shine on that day." Oh, listen to Job. "Neither let it see the dawning of the day. Let that day never dawn."
Right.
"Let that hour never arise that I was born and came into this world. Because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes." Job was so much in sorrow that he cried out. He cursed the day in which he was born.
Hallelujah.
"I wished it had never been. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breast that I should suck? But now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept. Then had I been at rest with kings and castles of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver, or is it a hidden, untimely birth? I had not been as infants, which never saw light." Something that died before it was ever born. An untimely birth.
Yeah.
A stillborn child. Job said, "Why did not the knees prevent me? Why did not I, when I came from my mother's womb, there'd be no cry of joy in the house, it would be a time of mourning and of darkness and of despair.
Yeah.
And oh, had I been like a hidden, untimely birth, I had not been. My God, can you feel the remorse of that man's heart? Can you see his despair? Can you feel with him tonight that hopeless condition of a man that felt like there was no further hope?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God it turned out good for Job.
Yeah.
It turned out all right in the end. Thank God he could rejoice that there was a boy born by the name of Job. Hallelujah. Praise God. That could be your hope tonight.
Uh-huh.
You could rejoice that you were born.
Yeah.
You could be happy that you were born.
Right. But
friend, if you look in the other direction, and I would to God that day had never been. That is something you are wishing for that cannot come true.
Right.
You are here. You have been born. It may have been better for you had you never been born. But you are here.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Oh, I'll run quickly. There's a man in the Bible. It started out in the prophecy a long time before he was ever born. The psalm writer picked up a pen and began to write. He wrote to describe a man. He didn't call his name. He wrote a description of a man. Somewhere hundreds of years later, there'd be a little child born.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be brought into a family. And that family, no doubt, would be happy with his birth, like any family should be.
Yeah.
They'd be thrilled and tickled to death that he was born. That little boy would come and grow up, and they would enjoy his childhood vanity. And they would suffer some of his childhood hurts and mistakes. That little boy would bring to them happiness, and he would bring sorrow. All children do that. Yes, sir, I'm convinced of that.
Sure.
There's times they hurt and you hurt.
Yeah.
There's time they're sick and you're sick inside.
Yes.
You sit there and you rock them in the old rocking chair. You take a damp rag and you dab their fevered brow. Yes, you do. You pace the floor at night. You spend sleepless nights.
Uh-huh.
You're long to take that little child up in some way, kiss the hurt away.
Yeah.
You long to feel what he feels
yourself
and take his infirmity.
Right.
I know I've got four boys. They're grown now. But I've still got to pet them once in a while. Mom has to pet them once in a while. They never get away from Mom's apron strings. I don't care how old they get. You see, there's joy in birth. And children are a heritage of the Lord, the Bible tells us. Friend, listen. But there's moments of sorrow and heartache when little Johnny gets in trouble. He shouldn't, but he does.
Yeah.
He brings a heartache to Mom and Dad. He might get in jail. He might have to go to prison. But Mom's heart is there. Dad's heart is there.
Uh-huh.
But David, the psalm writer, penned about a man. And he began to write and he said, "Oh, set thou a wicked man over him. Let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned. Let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few. Let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless and his wife a widow.
Uh-huh.
Let his children be continually vagabonds. Let his children be continually vagabonds. Little ragamuffins of the street.
Mm-hmm.
Little street urchins, if you please. Notice. And look, let them seek and let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath. Let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him. Neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off. And in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord. Let not the sin of his mother be blotted out." As you read that, had you not known what happened hundreds of years later? Had the Apostle Peter not penned further words, or Luke wrote what Peter said in Acts chapter 1? concerning this writing of David, his office, his bishopric, his office, let another take of the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Peter said that meant Judas.
Yeah.
David wrote about Judas.
Yeah.
Somewhere there was a family, had a little boy born.
Yeah.
Came in the world. His name, we'll call him Judas.
Yeah.
He born to the family of Iscariot. Judas Iscariot. What a fine little boy he is.
Yeah.
He grew up, somehow he went astray. Devil pulled in his heart.
Uh-huh.
In his heart, there you find there at the Last Supper, Judas was gathered together. Jesus said, the Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of sinners. But woe unto that man by which he is betrayed.
Yeah.
It had been better had he not been born.
Right.
It would have been better had he been like Job wanted to be.
Yeah.
If he had never come into the world.
Uh-huh.
You know what that tells me? There are some that say that hell is not eternal. There's some that say that hell is just a place where it's a hot fire. The wicked are dropped in it and it's all over. Some don't even believe in a literal burning hell. But Jesus said it'd been better for Judas had he never been born.
That's right.
It'd been better had the man never come in the world.
Yeah.
Than to have done what he did.
Yes. That's right.
Let me say this, friend. If you, like Judas, mortgage your soul, hell will foreclose.
Right.
It did on Judas.
Yes,
he could not escape that. No. You see, he mortgaged his soul to hell.
Right.
And it came a time
Jesus.
That hell foreclosed on that mortgage that Judas had given to them.
That's the truth.
Praise God, praise God,
hallelujah.
Praise God. And somewhere after that, went out and hanged himself and he was gone. Someone could look down the streets of Jerusalem, or the streets around Judea and Galilee,
yes.
And they could see a little old street urchin, a little old boy with a little old cap set jauntily on the side of his head, in tatters walking around in the garbage dump, in the desolate places, in the back alleys, had an awful, pitiful look on his face, saying, give me some help. Give me a little bread.
Yeah.
Give me a little bread. The Bible said his children would be continually vagabond.
Uh-huh.
Who's that little boy down there? That's one of Judas's children. Oh, you see, Judas, if he could have come back, if he could have stood there on the sideline and
right.
saw his little boy begging a beggar.
Right.
Haven't you seen that man that had given himself to alcohol or
yeah.
became addicted to gambling? A compulsive gambler that
yeah.
gambled away all of the wages that he earned.
Oh,
took
yeah.
bread away from his family.
Right.
The devil had got his soul in debt to him. And had twisted his soul and plundered him and left him empty. And that man's little boy goes out trying to find a bag of bread, to beg a little bit of bread.
Oh,
listen, there are children that are hurt and squeezed. There are children that are bruised in this brutal life.
Yes.
Some little child said, please help us. Please help us, preacher. Our dad goes off to work, and mom, she gets up and begins to drink. And sometimes the neighbor lady comes in and drinks with her, and she's drunken by noon. And then we try to clean the house, and mom can't, she's in no condition to do anything.
Right.
And long before it comes time for dad to come in from work, we have to go down, us children go down to the store and beg for credit in order that we might have something to put on the table for dad, because mom is lying out in a drunken stupor. I tell you, children shouldn't have to be hurt by parents' sins like that. Oh, friend, listen to me. That's a day and an hour that should not be.
Right.
A day that should not be.
Right.
And if Judas could come back, if he could see the hurt that he brought to that family, if he could see his dear wife, a widow now crying and weeping because of that desolation that sin brought into their life, Judas would have cried out, oh, I would to God that I had never been born. I would to God it had never been said that Judas is born. I would to God that I'd never been brought forth. Jesus said it would have been better. It'd been much better. Then he wouldn't have been there to father children. He wouldn't have been there to marry a wife and leave her a widow. Hell, you see, things would have been different. But that day could never be. That is the day that could never be.
Right.
Now you might, like previous civilizations, send away the days of grace. You might take for granted that life is going to be kind to you.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to go on forever. Just the other day, a man that was a very dear friend of mine. We worked on the jobs together. He was a contractor with his backhoe machinery. He'd come to the job, dig out stumps, and he'd say, "Preacher," and he always loved to refer to me as the preacher, and he was very fond of me. But he was the kind of man I couldn't get to. He would stop you short, you know, kind of throw up a roadblock. He'd talk all around it, but never really let you get to him.
Uh-huh.
He felt that church was fine for children.
Yeah.
It was good for old folks that had nothing else to do. But those that were his age, they need to be busy making dollars and money. So he worked nearly every Sunday on his machinery. He loved to get up on that old backhoe and work it. He just loved that. Just the other day, I came in from work and the wife said, "Did you know that this man is dead?" I said, "What?" She said, he died. "They want you to be a pallbearer." I said, "I just talked to him just the other day." Talked to him. The church, apostolic church, had prayer for him while he was in the hospital.
Yeah.
Here today and gone tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, friend, listen, if you don't know God tonight,
mm-hmm.
you can just sit around and send away the days of grace.
Yeah.
Noah's generation did.
Yeah.
Sodom and Gomorrah's generation did.
Right.
Proud Rome did to a whole civilization, went down the drain.
Uh-huh.
Pompeii was caught looking when the volcano erupted and took them all away in a moment of time.
Yeah.
I'm told they were still seated at their dining tables. Sometimes the bread was still set out upon the table. They were getting ready to take their meal, their regular evening meal, when the eruption caught them and froze them for all posterity.
Yes.
Like Lot's wife was froze into a pillar of salt as a warning to others. You can sit around. You can just take your ease and just let things slide. You can postpone. You can put it off. But you're here tonight. And you heard the gospel. You heard the testimony. You heard the songs of the church.
Oh, yeah.
And not only that, friend, but listen to me tonight. You have heard your conscience.
Oh, God.
Perhaps speaking to you louder than I can speak now. You've heard that conscience saying you ought to go. You ought to go. You ought to go. You know you ought to go.
Oh, yeah.
That's your conscience talking to you. God assigned that conscience to you to be your watch guard, to warn you when you went astray, to set up a warning light. There's coming a time when you're going to leave this world. You're going to depart from this world. Why don't you, friend? Why don't you give your heart to God?
Hallelujah.
While you can. As the musicians come to the music, please.
Praise God.
Let that day be blotted out in which it was said, a man child is born.
Jesus.
Let it not be numbered among the days of the year. Let it not be numbered among the months. Let God never regard it, but He will, but He will. You see, I'm preaching the day that could never be. God is going to regard it.
Yes, He is.
God has it marked.
Uh-huh.
He knows you exist.
Yes, He does.
He knows you're living in West Monroe. He knows your address. He knows where you are.
Right.
You cannot escape the inescapable God.
Uh-huh.
Oh, friend, listen. I feel him in this service tonight. I feel him moving and knocking at heart's doors. He's talking to you. That's God. He's visiting you. He's giving you one more warning. One more opportunity.
Thank you, Lord.
You can come now. You can make peace with God now. You're alive. You're alive. You're so alive.
Hallelujah.
But there'll come a time, friend, if God carries you, you'll be just as dead. Physically. Dead to hope. Unless you know God.
Hallelujah.
Dead to salvation.
Hallelujah.
Dead to opportunity. Dead to an altar call. Dead to an altar service.
Jesus.
No more music. No more songs. No more camp meetings. Think about it. Think about it.
Jesus.
No more grandmothers. No godly grandmothers to say, son, God. Grandson, why don't you serve God? Why don't you leave those drugs alone?
Uh-huh.
Why don't you quit drinking that beer, son? No more mothers' hearts to break. You hear me? Oh, you're so big. Yes, you are. You're a teenager now. You go out and get that automobile that you bought or dad's bought for you. You spin those wheels backwards and you tear out down the road, fishtailing. You're so in control of your own life now. Your dear mom stands in the door and watches you in a dust cloud disappear down the road. Dad stands there with weeping inside. Oh, sometimes tears don't come to the eye. They just flow down inside. Just like cascading waterfalls. They just build up. They just drip. They just run down inside to finally. You're just so full. You just want to reach out somehow and stop them. Friend, listen. You may bring heartache to dad and mom now and tears to their eyes. But if you persist, if you go on, this that I have read to you tonight that Job said, that's going to be your cry. In an eternity you're going to cry that. In the pits of an everlasting hell. In the flames of an eternal fire. You're going to cry out, I would to God I was never born. I would to God the day had never been. That the sun had never rose on that day. That they'd never come crying a child is born. A boy, a girl. You're going to wish it. You're going to scream it. You're going to cry it. 1,000 times. 10,000 times. Would you stand with me tonight?
Oh, God.
While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, and I feel God walking these aisles tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost moving tonight. And God is talking. His presence is so sweet.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
His presence is so sweet. I can tell you this tonight, friend. There is a great big old thank you in the heart of every saint of God that is here tonight. There's a big old thank you in our hearts tonight for Calvary. Thank God for Calvary. There's a prayer for you. Now would you come? Would you do it? Would you do something about your soul?
Jesus is calling. Calling.
Would you come on right now?
For you and for me.
This is your moment. God bless these as they come. They're coming.
On
would you come with them, please?
He's waiting and watching.
I don't know you tonight.
Watching.
I don't know who you are.
For
I don't know your name.
And for me.
But I can tell you, God's talking to you. They're still coming. They're still coming. There are others that are here tonight, and you need to come. And you know who you are. Come on and join these at the altar.
You are weary. come home earnestly,
yes.
Tenderly,
he's calling.
Jesus,
he's calling to you.
Is calling.
Would you turn him away?
Calling.
Would you say no?
Oh, sinner, come home.
Sing it one more time, Sister Rutledge.
Come home.
Come home.
Come home.
Come on now. It's not hard, it's easy. We're going to help you. The saints of God are going to help you.
Come home.
We love you, friend. We love you, boy. We love you, girl. We love you, mom and dad. This church loves you. Come on.
Jesus.
Come on. Would you do it? Would you do it right now?
Oh, sinner,
praise,
come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading
hallelujah.
For you and
thank you, Jesus.
For me?
Praise the Lord. Would you come on?
Why should we linger?
Hallelujah. Why should we have to be asked? We should be pleading to God to give us time to get to this altar.
For you.
Oh, yes.
And for me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come home.
Come home.
Before we all come together, I just want to remind you that we're sitting right on the edge of eternity. We're sitting right on the banks of disaster. These news reports we're hearing every day are not make-believe. What we're reading in our newspapers are not made-up stories. What we're seeing on the special network reports are not Hollywood productions. There really is an enemy that is staring us in the eye, defying us to the death. Right now, 150 people are being murdered daily, buried alive, drowned, shot, tortured, pulled apart, just by angry people fighting for their cause. Antichrist, anti-God, anti-America. Anti-Afghanistan, anti-Jew, anti-anything that has to do with freedom, our liberty, our godliness. And then we stand here and the preacher pours his heart out. And we let him beg us to come to the altar almost. And Jesus is about to come for us. Hallelujah. Come home.
Time is now.
Come on now. Praise the Lord as we linger just a moment. Hallelujah. While the saints gather around, would you come? Praise the Lord. Whosoever will, let him come. If you will, please come. If you won't, you'll regret the day you were born someday. But if you will, you may.
Come in.
Hallelujah.
For
hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For me.